the VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 506, recorded on June 26th,
506th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 339th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am TJ Dunzer.
I am Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
We're finally back from E3. And it's a little bit longer than normal because we recorded last time on Thursday, but that's okay. We passed up on doing some of the biggest news because Sony, quote unquote, won E3 in terms of news coverage, although I don't think they won it the way they wanted to win it.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah.
Their conference was a disaster, and I found out from people who actually attended it that the Sony conference was weird because what they did was they put everybody in one venue to watch The Last of Us 2. And then they picked, okay, come with us, and they walked to another venue where they watched everything else. And that was strange for them.
Yeah, I did notice that. They had that nice set that looked like the trailer for Last of Us 2, and then suddenly the rest of it was totally different.
Yeah. And that's why you also had all the Sony execs talking, like, making people think, wait, was that the conference? That's just The Last of Us, and that was it? Because it was like they were doing a post-game show.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad they only did that whole transition thing once, even if it was stupid and awkward, because if they had done that every time, God, we would have been here all day, just sitting here watching this garbage.
Yeah. But I was watching, right in that Microsoft stole some of their thunder because, Kingdom Hearts 3, yeah, we just saw that yesterday.
I was going to say, but it was really only Resident Evil 2 that salvaged that show for me, because I know it was rumored
it's coming
for
on Xbox One.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I thought it was going to be a Sony exclusive, but it wasn't.
I know it was rumored for a while, but I was just thrilled to see it. I was thrilled to see the actual, like, setup and gameplay, and then they showed demos afterwards.
Well,
and
you know what they're going to do that the original wasn't?
What's that?
Going to make it scary. Resident Evil 2 is not scary. This game is scary, and it's all revolving around the fact that you have full body, let's just say, destructibility. Like, if you shoot someone in the jaw, their jaw's gonna fly off, you know, and, you know, if someone's split in half, you'll see their entire, you know, it's sort of, they really model the body so that when you're killing zombies, you know, you do it piece by piece. Then you find out, well, guess what? Shooting them in the head may not kill them.
I don't know. I thought the original was kind of terrifying at the time.
Well, here's the thing. Resident Evil 7, actually, I'm sorry, let's go back a bit. PT showed it was, you know, scary, you know, it was fine to have scary games again. Mm-hmm. You know, and that sort of opened up the door, and that's why with Resident Evil 7 they went with scary, right? So now with Resident Evil 2, they're gonna go, okay, we're gonna make this really scary. And a lot of the stuff in Resident Evil 2, by the way, makes it even scarier, and guess what? Going through a door is not going to save you. There is no loading screens anymore. No. They might follow you through and bust through the door and follow you. You no longer have that save point. There's no save points.
They still have the box and the typewriter, which I'm pretty happy about.
Yeah, but you don't have the, you're safe because it has to load a new screen now.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're going to follow you through. Sorry, sucks to be you. Anyways, what have you been playing, TJ?
I've been playing my butt off on some Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle.
Really?
I've been back to that now. I've been mixing and matching the animes and figuring out which animes work best. For those who don't know, Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle is a combination of three different fighting games and then another anime universe of characters that they went ahead and stuck in there from the
ones they couldn't get from Shonen Jump.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's fun seeing how the characters match up, and they're from a lot of games that I liked. They went the Dragon Ball Fighter Z path with this one, which what I mean by that is they simplified the control scheme to where, like, you press a button a bunch and it does an auto combo, but then you can mix it up a little bit based on whatever your character can do. And I like that. It was kind of weird to take one of my mains and unlearn him entirely and then relearn him with the new setup. But the game is stylish, it's fun, and I'm beating people with characters that most people consider to be trashed here, so I think that's a win.
I forgot to mention last episode that I got some hands-on time with Soul Calibur 6.
Oh yeah, what'd you think? Who'd you play?
It was smooth. I played as Ivy. It was fine. I mean, you know, it's Soul Calibur. Not much is going to change. It looked prettier. The controls felt a little smoother. And by the way, I think I mentioned that I played a little bit of Anthem at E3 too. And I think I said to everybody, you know, this is like a smooth, not frustrating version of Borderlands. And, you know, something that's really, really pretty and Borderlands, but not as shitty, is pretty okay in my book.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Like, I'm all for a more exciting Borderlands so that you can actually play by yourself and not be bored out of your mind.
It did not remind me of Destiny. It reminded me of Borderlands.
Which, that's a good thing. I mean, if it's an exciting Borderlands, that sounds like a statement to me.
By the way, we also forgot to discuss last week that Respawn casually mentioned they're making a Star Wars game.
And it's
okay. So you're just mentioning it, but you know, here's the thing. It's Respawn. They're the original Infinity Ward, and whatever they're making is bound to be good. I mean, the last two games they made were the Titanfall games, and they were pretty good.
Absolutely. If they're making a multiplayer shooter, I think they're going to blow Battlefront out of the water. But if they're doing just something else, like the fabled...
After Titanfall, they decided, you know what, Titanfall 2, we're going to make a single-player story and multiplayer. And if they have something like that for Star Wars, I mean, hey, look, Titanfall with a Star Wars skin, you got to go with it. Even if it's just that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not?
With a Titanfall with a Star Wars skin, that's a first-person shooter game, so would you play a non-Force character?
No, you'd play a Force character, obviously, okay. Because you have wall running, and you have acrobatics. You know, that just screams to me, you know. And, you know, Jedi's do wield blasters. Come on. They're not restricted to lightsabers. As a matter of fact, in Titanfall, there's a lot of melee combat.
That's good.
You could picture, just replace the Titans with AT-AT walkers, and now picture your Jedi going to disable them like you do one of the Titans in Titanfall.
You know, I think to myself, I think of Jedi Knight, like the first Jedi Knight games, mm-hmm. And I think if you applied the Titanfall level of mobility to a game like that, that would be pretty fun.
Yeah, I miss Raven. I know Raven's still around, but they're not the same Raven I knew that I chatted with so many times. As a matter of fact, they were the ones who made the Soldier of Fortune game, and they sent me screenshots, gore shots, and it's like blew up the site. So many people were hitting it. How about you, Scott? What have you been playing?
I got a Switch and Zelda Breath of the Wild, so I've been
so you got the Switch.
Playing that.
I hope you don't have a. Well, here's the thing. It's a good thing you don't have your Microsoft, your Minecraft account on the PlayStation.
Right. No, that's true.
You're a PC guy, I know. But at least you can transfer your stuff to, you know.
I've been playing the Zelda Breath of the Wild and just been having so much fun with that game.
I'm going to tell you something, though. It may be a different, slightly different type of game, but Dragon Quest XI makes Zelda look like a last-gen game. It just looks like a mud puddle next to it.
Wow.
I mean, the open world of Dragon Quest XI is so beautiful.
Yeah, I think both will be beautiful in their own, you know, regards. But, you know, I can't wait for that game, but that'll be in September. So meanwhile, I have this whole entire freaking world of Hyrule to explore. And it's just so much fun because there's just so much stuff to look for. And
well, you're
find.
An Elder Scrolls guy, damn it. You play Skyrim, so now you're playing Zelda. You're probably right at home. It's like, oh yeah, this is like Skyrim except faster paced and with Link.
Yeah, with Link, no dragons. It's basically Skyrim.
It's not a bad thing.
I'm having a lot of fun with it.
So I think you just buried the lead that you finally got a Switch. Before we talk about that, let's talk about the swag that I sent you.
Oh, yes, thank you. You gave me the Fallout mask. The Fallout Boy mask is cool. The
Vault Boy mask,
I will
say something. You know, those Vault Boy masks, I got two of them. I didn't know how much people were wanting them by the end of this show. It's like everybody wanted a Vault Boy mask.
Wow. Yeah, it's a good quality mask, and it's, you know, nice if you love your Fallout, you know, stuff and want to...
Yeah, I gave you something for Halloween.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I'll just have to get a jumpsuit. Yeah, you know, or a vault suit somewhere.
A Vault Boy suit, yeah. Mm-hmm. A Pip-Boy. Oh, wait, is it a Pip-Boy? No, it's a vault. No, it's a vault jumpsuit. Never mind.
They actually do have a do-it-yourself, make-your-own Pip-Boy thing online.
Hey, wait, do you still have that Pip-Boy that you got for getting Fallout 4?
No, I didn't buy that. I didn't buy that at all.
Oh, wait. Well, that was then... TJ, were you the one who got that?
Which one?
The Vault Boy, the Pip-Boy for Fallout 4.
Oh, yeah, I got the Fallout 4 Special Edition, which came with a nice little capsule box with
because here's the thing. If Scott had that, he could wear the mask and get a jumpsuit and then wear that Pip-Boy thing on his arm. Get the complete
outfit.
That would
be cool.
I don't use it very much, Scott. Do you want me to send it over to you so you can cosplay Pip-Boy?
Okay.
Well, Vaughn, really Pip-Boy is what you're wearing. I got corrected on that. So no, he's not Pip-Boy. Pip-Boy is the thing you wear. He's Vault-Boy. speaking of Dragon Quest XI, you also got that T-shirt.
Yes, the T-shirt with all the characters, the silhouettes, and it has the E3 date on the back, and nice big logo also on the back, which is really cool. I got the Spider-Man newspaper, which was nice to read. It actually had little articles inside and little hints, I think, at other story elements for that game, which I thought that was really cool. Thing. I got the Fallout pennies, which is cool. I sent some to TJ too.
A little mistake. I actually made two of them the same, so I had to go back and get a new one. But at least making a duplicate, I got to keep one for myself. It's the one with the Brotherhood of Steel helmet on it.
Mm-hmm. And the EA sunglasses and the I'm not sure what you call it. It's a Nintendo thing where you put your ID badge on or something like that.
A lanyard.
Yeah, lanyard. Okay, that's what it's. Lanyard, that's cool too. What else was in there? I think it was something.
Two game codes.
Oh yeah, the two game codes for FIFA Soccer and Madden.
Yeah, 18 and 19 for the PS4.
Yeah, I claimed them, so they're on the PS4 now.
Now I gave you something slightly. I gave TJ something. You did get the Spider-Man newspaper though. I made sure
I
got one of those.
I got that. You sent over the Rage keychain, which was the, for lack of better terms, I've been calling it the Kroll, the Rage
yeah,
Kroll. The Rage Kroll.
Yeah, it was called the Glaive.
Yeah, the Rage Glaive.
Oh, cool.
There was also this. I forget what game it was, but it was like this.
Dog tags.
Yeah, Battlefield 5 dog tags, and then a lanyard that has like a charger for various different devices as well. So that was cool. I really enjoyed. I really like that keychain.
I thought, you know, sending the there was no shortage of those Spider-Man newspapers, and I felt like, you know, you getting the newspapers would be the fullest experience of being at
E3. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that. I even read through the thing and just like looked at all the little stories in it.
Yeah.
It might be a collectible at some point. The one swag that I kept for myself, of course, was the Serious Sam 4 sunglasses. Those I'm never giving up. As a matter of fact, Devolver Digital retweeted the picture I posted. I said this last week, but Serious Sam 4, they're intending to have you face off 10,000 enemies at once in a shooter. And it's like, I'm thinking of, and I said, wow, that's going to make that part in which you have the screaming... you know, bomb hand guys, really interesting. So yeah, 10,000 of those guys screaming at once as they come over the hill. So yeah. As for me, I sent back Sniper Elite 4, and the next game I'm getting is going to be Stardew Valley. So I'm going to finally get to see what that's like.
Oh,
that's
cool.
A good game.
Yeah, yeah. If you're looking for like an Animal Crossing style or just farming style or a good Harvest Moon style, it fits a lot of those niches really well.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot about it. I know you get your farm from your grandpa who says, okay, you can get away from city life now. Try this. You know, and here's the thing I learned from other people. You don't have to make a huge, huge farm that eats up all your time. You can, if you want to, just make a little farm. You know, it allows you to do the scale that you want to do, you know. And so it's like I'm probably going to do a little farm and then see if I can't get married and then explore those caves.
Nice.
So, yeah, I've also restarted the Middle-Earth Shadow of War game, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm just as addicted to the game on the second playthrough as I was the first time. It's sort of like it still has that just one more captain, just one more, you know, fort, you know, just one more of this, just one more of that. And I've been breaking it up with playing XCOM 2 again. Because I need some, you know, tactical strategy. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who said they're really, really looking forward to Gears Tactics. You know, it's gonna be a PC game, and you know, why not? I mean, it's not gonna be. It's more Final Fantasy Tactics than it is XCOM. But you know, and also I came in third in the Trials of Style in the world for Cooking Dash. I should have been in second if I had gone back and redone one of the things with the proper special power, but I didn't. So I came in third instead of second. They're doing new Trials of Style. I'm not really doing that all that well, which is unfortunate, but we'll see.
Neat. Did I tell you guys I had been playing Vampyr?
Which Vampyr? Yes. Oh, Vampyr.
Yeah, Vampyr. I finally got... Well, I've been playing it for a while now, but I had to start the game over. So there are
was there a game crashing bug, or is it just I built my character all wrong?
No, I was just furious with the outcomes of some of my choices.
So you're a prick, and the game said, "Yeah, you're a prick."
No, I was a well-to-do, a well-meaning person, and my choices led to disasters.
That's how I felt in Skyrim when I chose the wrong side in the Civil War, so I undid hours worth of gameplay just to fix the outcome of the Civil War because I didn't like my choice.
I have never not liked the choices I've made in games.
Okay,
I don't know what's wrong with you two.
Okay, here's the deal.
Sometimes you pick an ideal and a choice, think, okay, this doesn't seem so bad, and then suddenly it just goes horribly wrong, and you're like, I don't like this anymore, I want to go back.
Vampyr has at least six major choices throughout the game.
Okay.
That grossly and drastically affect everything. Like they're make or break choices for various places.
And you stumbled on each one.
And what happened was one of the choices, okay. One of your things that you do throughout the entire game is mesmerize people with your vampire magic because that's what vampires do. They trick people into believing them and giving them information with their vampire voodoo. And there
so
was
the game wasn't like, oh, it's okay if you're a Jedi to mindwash or brainwash people. No, it actually called you out on brainwashing.
Nope. There was a certain point where it gave you a choice with this one particularly important person, and you could let them go. They basically committed a crime, and you could let them go, kill them, and take their life force, or charm them and make them forget and make them stop doing their crime.
You didn't take the life force, did you, TJ?
No, you brainwashed them, and that created a disaster.
No, here's what happened. I charmed them, thinking, "Oh, this is a good idea. I've charmed people several times before, and it didn't turn, and it wasn't that bad. I'll just make her forget what she's doing, and it'll be all hunky dory." Nope, she lost her will. I charmed the hell out of her and erased her ability to work as a human being, and she lost her will to live.
Well, you're a vampire. I mean, you know, you just can't look at someone and say, "You didn't see me here," and wave your hand like a Jedi.
I was a little upset about it because I wanted to like lightly charm her, and instead my character just went all out and just like fucking blank slated her.
Yeah.
That reminds me, I really want to play the Council. For those who don't know, it's an adventure game like a Telltale game, except it's by Big Bad Wolf and it's published by Focus Home and Interactive. And it actually is more like an RPG, RPG adventure game. Like there are three classes that you can take, like diplomacy, occultist, or detective, and all that stuff. And, you know, you can, the voice acting is some of the worst you'll ever hear, but the writing is good.
It's just turned down the voices then.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I've been playing Cultist Simulator 2, and for the life of me, everybody's doing well in that game. I cannot for the life of me. It's like, what am I doing wrong? My people are either running out of money, they're committing suicide because they get too much despair, or they starve to death. It's like, what are other people doing well that I'm not, you know? I haven't even started my own cult yet, and... You know, and other people are talking about what they're doing with their cults, and I'm like, well, actually, I haven't started my cult yet. I don't know how to start a cult.
Sometimes you mean well and you wipe somebody's mind, and sometimes you mean well and you poison everybody at the punch table.
Well, I'm not going to your parties now.
He means well.
So, yeah. Anyways, so like I already hinted it broadly before, not so subtly, about Sony making news at E3, the kind of news they don't want to make. So the first news item is Microsoft and Nintendo troll Sony over crossplay. And this comes to us from The Sun. The rival console makers are promoting their crossplay features, which lets players play Fortnite and Minecraft against people on different consoles, to mock Sony for not offering the feature for PS4 gamers. The ad shows an Xbox gamer and a Nintendo Switch player enjoying a shared game of Minecraft despite using different consoles. It takes the game of Sony, which is currently embroiled in a major row over its failure to support crossplay. By the way, I want to pause right here. 5 years ago, Sony was attacking Microsoft for not engaging in crossplay with Final Fantasy XIV. That's just a reminder. Or maybe 6 or 7 years. It was before the new consoles came out. Right now, Minecraft and Fortnite gamers can play against each other if they own an Xbox, PC, Nintendo Switch, or iPhone. But if you got a PlayStation 4, you're completely shut out from playing against Xbox players on both Minecraft and Fortnite, and any other multiplayer game for that matter. This has sparked fury amongst PS4 owners who feel like they're getting a rough deal from Sony. It's even sparked a creation of a popular hashtag blame Sony, which is used by gaming fans to vent their frustration. Now, one meme. Do you remember back at E3 2015 and Sony trolled Microsoft over their game sharing thing and said, this is how we get to share games. And they have one person handing the other person a game disc, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, someone took that picture, slapped Microsoft and Nintendo logos on their faces, and had them handing a Fortnite over. On Twitter, a user messaged Microsoft's head of Xbox, Phil Spencer, about how they'd like to see Xbox One and PlayStation 4 get cross-play in response. Phil said, me too, the number two. And then Epic Games responded with its Fortnite Twitter account with Wii 3. In a follow-up statement, a Microsoft spokesperson said, quote, we've worked closely with Nintendo to allow cross-network play between Xbox One and Switch, and our offer to do so the same with PlayStation players still holds. For any other questions regarding Fortnite cross-network play between Xbox and PlayStation, please reach out to Epic or Sony directly. Now, I will add this. It isn't the fact that you can't cross-play that's really upset Fortnite users. What's really upset them is that they cannot bring over their Game Pass, and they cannot bring over their purchased content. In other words, if they want to play Fortnite on the PlayStation 4, they have to create an entirely new Fortnite account and buy the same stuff that they already had. Which is deeply ironic because there's rumor, and I don't know if it's been confirmed yet, of a Fortnite PlayStation 4, which comes with a free skin. And I'm thinking, you know, no one who already owns Fortnite is going to care. Because they know if they buy this machine... Yeah, and have to get a new Game Pass and buy new stuff all for a single skin? No, thank you. So yeah, this is coming at the worst time for Sony in terms of that. Sony has done a lot of shit towards gamers, especially their own gamers. I need only think about when PlayStation Network was hacked, and for a week they said nothing while users' credit cards were being stolen off the site. And their answer to that was A, give everybody $50 in credit, and B, invent a new end user's license that said, you can't sue us anymore. No class action suits allowed if you subscribe to our service, which, to be fair, everybody copied. EA, Microsoft, Nintendo, everybody just said, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good thing. But here's the thing. That clause is meaningless because if a crime is committed, that contract goes out the window. So.
Yeah. I mean, Sony has gotten to rest on its laurels for the fact that it has had a pretty stellar lineup of games coming out for the past few years that have attracted people over. I mean, it's hard to argue with the fact that they've had success for having a good library. But that means they've gotten lazy to a certain extent, and they think that they can just sort of mess, you know, they're acting, whenever somebody gets ahead, they do this where they feel like they don't have to play down to the rest of the industry.
Oh, and Nintendo learned that lesson really well. Remember the Nintendo Seal of Quality, which is basically, oh yeah, we're getting licensing fees for these games.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee, third party don't want to deal with us anymore? Oh, how did that happen?
And that's where Sony is. Sony is basically acting like they don't have to do that because everybody will come play on PS4 anyway, which I'm sorry, they won't, because I mean, they 2 million on the Switch alone on the first day. And this whole thing about like the crossplay and then not being able to take your, if you started at Sony or if you started outside of Sony, you can't take your account over or vice versa. I've seen people livid over that just because you have to build an entirely second account with all sorts of – with forget all of the stuff that you've collected just to play on either Switch or PS4. And that's stupid. You that's know, a Rebel stupid
– one of the podcasters noted that on one weekend they were having a Fortnite night and one of them was on the PC and another person was on the Switch and another person was on the Xbox One and another person was actually playing on Android, which still boggles my mind how anybody can play Fortnite on the Android on a cell phone, but there they were doing it. So, I mean, yeah. I could easily see it more on Minecraft because that's more a leisurely pace. I mean, Scott, you still play a lot of Minecraft. Do you have other people from different platforms joining in on with you?
No, but I've been told that if we wanted, if we got on Minecraft Realms, we could play PC and Xbox players together. But we haven't had that chance to do that. But I know that
Switch. I mean, it's Switch and Android. I mean, you just got a Switch. I mean, if you want to get Minecraft,
I know some people that have Xbox and have Minecraft, and it is possible to play with them on a Minecraft Realms server if we.
If you wanted to, you can get Minecraft for the Switch, import all your content, if I remember correctly, and just do it on the Switch if you want to.
Yeah, that's true. Stuff like this that Sony is doing is probably why, one of the biggest reasons why I'm buying Dragon's Quest XI on Steam and not on PlayStation. I just don't want to deal with, again, it's like this, you know, they have an account and they know what games I've bought and they don't.
You're not going to make get Dragon Quest XI for the Switch?
No, I'm going to be playing that on Steam because I like sitting at my.
I will be a little bitchy and say, yeah, but it also, your PC probably has more storage space than your.
True. Oh, that, yeah. That's but like for like a good example of what I'm getting at is like Breath of the Wild. I'm sorry, Dragon. No, I'm not. Damn it, Dragon's Breath. It's not Dragon's Breath. It's Breath of Fire. There we go. Breath of Fire 3 is on PSP and Vita, but you can't play it on PS3 or PS4, which makes no sense to me. Like why? And they do this crap where it's like they want you to buy it again or they want to buy it on a specific thing and they're just so draconian about it, you know? So I'd rather just not deal with that.
Well, the thing is that there was an insider who talked about it and said the number one thing was money. They didn't want people to buy their game passes on a different, you know, account that wasn't paying Sony for it. You know, but the problem here is that I also wrote an amusing thing in which this analyst said, well, Sony doesn't have to do anything. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to tell you something. They probably said the same thing about Microsoft with having, you know, a driveless system that you do all your games, you know, an always on connection. You know, they probably said that they could do that too. But when gamers that ain't getting angry enough, they can be bitches and they can just say, no, we're not going to bother with it. Sorry. We're not going to deal with you.
You piss them off enough, they will leave, you know?
I mean, just ask Nintendo with the Wii and the Wii U. The Wii U should have been a massively selling console. But it wasn't because gamers had said, why? Why are we going to play on that? You know, okay, Super Smash Bros., fine. But we could play that on the GameCube if you want. It hasn't changed much. You know, I mean, now Nintendo's getting, you know, is realizing, well, you know, we've got to get those games that these gamers really, really want. And they're not going to always want to have Wii Music. And the people that we were selling it to don't care about video games. It was just another Furby to them. It was a Furby. It was a Power Ranger. It was a Cabbage Patch Kid. So, I mean, yeah. You know, the other thing is that you're going to... Here's the thing. Sony may find themselves with their noses pressed against the thing if they wait too long, because here's a little hint. Crossplay is here to stay. I mean, it was a novelty 7 years ago, you know, with stuff like Final Fantasy 14. But now people are really getting into it. And the main reason for that are cell phones. Because people are doing stuff on their cell phones and people are saying, you know, it'd be a good idea to link the cell phone to this game. Well, if you're going to link the cell phone to the game, why not the other consoles?
I like what Phil Spencer said about a kid's birthday party where his parents get him a gift, you know, a console, blue or green, and the parents don't know which is which or what his friends have, and he gets a blue one and they have a green one, and it's like Phil doesn't want to make the parents feel punished or the kid feel punished because, you know, they have the wrong console and it's not helping anybody, so why not just make it crossplay? And I like that. It makes them seem to care about the customer and not just the bottom line.
DJ?
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you do, like, I agree with you, if you do enough stuff like this, people will migrate. Like, when the next generation of consoles comes up, people will remember.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I left to Sony after Nintendo N64, and it was just not a good console to me, and it was very few good games, and I just got tired of it. So I said, fine, I'm getting a Sony PlayStation. That's where all the RPGs were, and I played
on
there.
Also, the RPGs were migrating there. I mean, Final Fantasy jumped ship from Nintendo to Sony.
Yep, and I played Suikoden and other RPGs, and it was just I just felt like my gaming habits were on the Sony and not on Nintendo 64, and so, you know, it was just unfortunate that Nintendo, you know, went a bad route on there, and hopefully Sony doesn't go a bad route now.
I think Sony is also pissed off that so many games are also coming to PC, because Microsoft doesn't really care about, oh, Dragon Quest XI is not on Xbox, that's fine, we can wait a while. On the other hand, you know, people might play it on PC, because guess what? Guess what Windows is? That's why, if you want to comp PC as a platform, well, then Halo's and Gears are not multi-platform, are not quote-unquote, are not exclusives, because if you own Windows 10, you can get both of them as well. And by the way, don't underestimate the fact that Halo Infinite is coming to PC, because Halo 1 and Halo 2 are the only ones that weren't RTSs that were on PC, and you know how many people still play Halo 2 on PC?
Yeah.
So anyways, the main thing is that, you know, cross-platform is here to stay, and, you know, Sony better get in line or else they're going to find a lot of negative attention. It reminds me of when Sony mocked Microsoft for having achievements, saying it was silly, and then a year later said, oh, we're going to have entitlements. Oh, entitlements sounds bad. Okay, we're going to call them trophies. Does the Switch have trophies or is the equivalent?
No.
Okay.
Steam has achievements.
Yeah, Steam achievements. Yeah, we know that. But I'm just wondering about the Switch.
I don't believe it does, no.
Oh, too bad. I mean, can you imagine the achievement hunting that would be on Nintendo? Oh, get 5 kills with Bayonetta and Super Smash Brothers.
Especially with Zelda Breath of the Wild.
I mean, here's the thing. Nintendo gamers are the most insane completionists out there. I don't care which platform you're on. No, it was always Nintendo that was always the completionist thing. Every game that ever came out with Nintendo, people would talk about 100%ing it a long time. And then they would make their own self-imposed challenges, like playing Mega Man with a minimum of shots. What was it? One shot was only required to beat Mega Man?
There's a Super Mario Bros. 3 no touch. You can't touch anything. None of the monsters, none of the power-ups, none of the coins. You had to dodge everything. It's insane.
Yeah. There's also what was it? There's the Green Demon Challenge in Mario 64 where you spawn an extra life and then try to complete the level without letting the life catch you. because the extra lives in Mario 64 follow you.
Yeah. Oh, so sometimes I wish Nintendo would fail as a hardware manufacturer just so they were forced to make games for the Xbox and Sony and they have to invent achievements.
And then Atari comes back with its own console.
Oh, Atari will never come out with its own console. By the way, something that I neglected to mention is that they raised $2 million for the new Atari, and they actually are starting a new SKU because the one that they had was so popular. They now have a new Woody SKU, which isn't quite as feature-rich as the other one, but it does have some features. So that's going to be a thing, at least. And, you know, I'm glad. I mean, it's not going to be anything. It's going to be a PC. It's going to play PC games, you know. But I'm glad to see Atari back there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just having an Atari Woody out there. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, TJ.
Sure thing. Bethesda lawsuit says Westworld Games stole Fallout Shelter code from Android Police.
Stop. I just want to say, having Android Police either sounds like a cheesy sci-fi movie or a punk rock band's name. I want a band name to be Android Police.
Well, they're the perfect ones to be covering news about Westworld.
That's true.
Westworld Mobile landed on Android a mere 2 days ago, and at the time, pretty much everyone remarked that the game was very similar to Fallout Shelter. Turns out it might have been a little too much in common with the game. As Bethesda is suing Warner Brothers and Behavior Interactive, the developers contracted to make Fallout Shelter for Bethesda. Apparently, WB hired Behavior to make Westworld, and Bethesda alleges that some of the IP used in the game's recent creation stems from previous work on Fallout Shelter. According to the filing, the Westworld game includes a telling bug, with the document stating that the identical problem appeared in initial versions of Fallout Shelter, but was addressed before Fallout Shelter was released to the public. In itself, that reuse of code might not be a problem, even if it is a bit disingenuous. But Bethesda also states that Behavior was under an exclusive contract for the work it previously did, with Bethesda as the owner of any and all IP related to the game. The suit was filed yesterday in U.S. District Court for the District of Maryland, and among other monetary claims for relief, Bethesda is seeking for the Westworld game to be removed from distribution. Bethesda is suing for breach of contract, copyright infringement, unfair competition, and misappropriation of trade secrets.
Yeah, they can shove it. They tried to do the same thing with Fallout and Interplay. They failed. This is going to fail too, unless they actually cut and paste the code. See, here's the thing. Behavior Interactive may program its games in a certain way, you know, and it may make the same mistakes. The problem here is that, you know, I don't think Bethesda can get it. Let's not call it even Bethesda. Let's call it what it is, ZeniMax. ZeniMax loves to sue people. They're the Nintendo of the PC world. So, yeah, it's similar. So what?
I mean, on one hand, if it is copy and paste, which it kind of sounds like it is from the fact that you have an exact replica of a bug that shows up in Fallout
that's
Shelter.
That's not enough. That's not enough. Because here's the thing, you know, you may have... you ever see the movie with James Edward Olmos who taught those kids math? And they got investigated because all the kids did the same mistake in math. But it wasn't because they were cheating. It was because the way they had been taught was wrong. And that's just it. You know, it could be the same bug is meaningless. I mean, Obsidian has the same problems. They do the same bug over and over and over again. They always have to patch the same way over and over and over again. And Bethesda better watch out because WB is a big boy and they know how to fight.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out because this looks like it's going to be heading to court.
They're just going to do a payoff and say, here's some money, shut up.
I'm more worried about Behavior than I am about WB. I wonder if WB will back them up at all or if they'll let them handle their end of the lawsuit on their own.
It's product play. It's a product. It's a licensing for Westworld. You know, and that's one of their biggest shows on Netflix. They're not gonna let anybody screw with it.
I hope so, because like, it sucks. Because it does suck for like a small indie developer to be hit by one of the big boys like that. And I mean, if they cheated, they cheated. But they at cheat, the same
they,
time,
they just, no. Wait, they didn't steal it from anybody. They just made both games.
But that's what I'm saying. But if they didn't, then that's just the big boy on the campus bullying other people around, and that sucks.
Yeah, well, you know, WWE can do a countersuit. Okay, now this is frivolous, and you know what? You got to pay our lawyer bills.
I think the real point is the breach of contract. If they have a contract, it depends on what's stipulated in that contract. If they've been told that they can use some.
But that's why I'm saying it's bullshit. I don't think that contract is enforceable. Because they'd have to use the exact same code. And if you know anything about developers, that seldom ever happens. They didn't just pick up the game. They didn't just take Fallout Shelter and put a bunch of Westworld paint on it. They did the same structure, you know. But if you look at the game, some of the stuff that you do in it is different. Mm. Like I said, the contract is unenforceable. I'd be very surprised if Bethesda won anything. Like I said, it's going to be a monetary payment. Just a WB saying, here's $1 million. No, shut up. Pretend this never happened. Because I think that's why Bethesda's suing in the first place. They see Warner Brothers and they say, ooh, ka-ching.
I am looking at this and it does look tremendously like alike.
Not as much. But I'm just saying, Bethesda sees Warner Brothers and say, ka-ching, oh, look, they can waste $200 million on Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. They won't mind giving us a few pennies. Well, what the hell do they care about Westworld anyway? It's just a cheap licensed game. You know, it's like, what do they care? They have Fallout Shelter coming out on Switch. Do you think anybody on the Switch is going to care about Westworld Online? Really?
Yeah, I don't think so, but
no one cares. You know, and like I said, it's like with Fallout. You know, they tried the same shit with Fallout. It didn't work.
And the Scrolls, remember that?
Oh, yeah, the game that was called Scrolls. Bethesda, you can't use the name Scrolls. People confuse it with the Elder Scrolls. Okay, one is a collectible card game. The other one is an open-world RPG. They look nothing alike. By the way, let's get back to E3 and talk about Cyberpunk 2077. Apparently, everything you saw in the trailer is actually in-game, and it's not a cutscene.
Nice! Yeah, I heard that. That is impressive if that's true. If that's in-engine, that's going to be... I can't imagine that comes out on this generation of consoles.
No, it's not. And here's the thing. Microsoft first said, whispered, and we'd be carrying this through to 2020 when, you know, you may see a console. And the Bethesda said in there, yeah, there's a new console coming and we're making a game for it. Actually, now we're talking about Bethesda and controversies. Let's talk about Fallout 76 and things that people are talking about that now. Because it's going to be always online. And they say, oh, it's going to have single player sometime. Which tells us what kind of game Fallout 76 is going to be. It's going to be Rust. It's going to be one of those games in which you're plopped down with a bunch of other players and it's survival mode. And they said there's going to be no NPCs whatsoever. Which I'm thinking, you know what? No, I am not dealing with other people. We have Sorry. Names, so you can find four-star hotels. Would you really want to have to face off? Would you rather talk to an NPC or a PC in a game? Honestly.
Well, I think player character could be fun. I mean,
it could be bad, but
also there's good potential there for working together to make your own quests. But apparently, there's other things that can give quests, like terminals, letters, or robots or
Scott,
other mutants or whatever.
Scott, have you ever played something like DayZ or Rust?
No, I have not.
Okay, then TJ, explain to him how much pricks people can be on those in those games.
I know how big a prick people can be.
No, we're talking about sadistic prickery.
Okay.
I used to, one of the funniest stories I ever heard about those games was there was a woman who would use the voice chat system in the game to call out in distress to other people, and then when they'd show up, she'd kill them and take their stuff and run away.
Oh, that's mild compared to what stuff I've heard.
That's actually kind of funny. I like that, actually.
Yeah, but not if you're the person playing. And here's the thing. A new person comes in, get ganked the first hour, they never come back to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, at least we know that Fallout 76 isn't going to be another Fallout game. It's going to be something else. It's either going to be PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds or Rust or something, but it's not going to be Fallout the way we know it. So we have several ways. I mean,
I don't think it's going to be PUBG. It seemed more trying to lean
persistent
towards cooperative.
Yeah. Put cooperative in big fat quotes there. But hey, you know, we have Elder Scrolls 6 coming, so who cares? Yeah. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Microsoft and Razer are working on Xbox keyboard and mouse support. This is from The Verge. Microsoft has been teasing keyboard and mouse support for Xbox One for years, but it's finally becoming a reality soon. The software giant has partnered with Razer to enable its Chroma RGB lighting support in Xbox games. Chroma allows players to have an assortment of colors light up on the keyboard, and it's also useful for spotting ability cooldowns in games like Overwatch. Windows Central reports that Microsoft started briefing developers about the upcoming support earlier this year, and The Verge can confirm partnership is genuine. I've been able to put a keyboard on the PlayStation, but
here's the thing,
that they're talking about.
I'm using a keyboard right now on my Xbox One, but it's limited to do something like typing in stuff, for, you know, like like passwords or emails or whatever. But you cannot do actual games with it. That's what they're talking about. They're not talking about keyboard and mouse support in terms of being able to work on it. No, they're talking about as actual game controls.
That does sound cool. I like the idea of cooldowns. Like it'll glow a different light to tell you it's.
Oh yeah,
no,
that's the Chroma keyboard. I actually have one myself. I don't use any of the specialized things on it. I just like the way it cycles through lights while it's on.
Yeah, I do like that. Sources familiar with Microsoft's plans tell The Verge that Microsoft and Razer presented their plans at the annual XFest event for developers earlier this year. Razer is planning to allow game developers to tap into its API to bring Chroma lighting effects to games. If all goes according to plan, Xbox One users will start to make use of this later this year with Microsoft's fall update for the Xbox. Xbox gamers will welcome the addition of keyboard and mouse support, but some will question the impact on multiplayer games. Microsoft is allowing developers to detect whether a keyboard or mouse is present on an Xbox One, and games could potentially only match keyboard and mouse users with similarly equipped players. That's probably a good idea. Balancing games will be down to developers, and Microsoft is offering up all the tools required to ensure games can be implemented in the support in a variety of ways. Microsoft will be supporting a variety of USB mice, including ones with wireless dongles. Bluetooth and custom mouse drivers won't be supported initially, though. Microsoft is also on the new game APIs that will allow developers to detect and block keyboard and mouse accessories like the Zim that currently unfairly mimic controller behavior.
By the way, there is a reason why Microsoft is doing it. I know it. Because they bought the developers to PUBG, and I'm pretty sure all of this is because of PUBG. Because the one big problem with playing PUBG on the Xbox is the fact they have to account for the controller. And it makes a really complicated game that much more complicated when you have to start doing this. So Microsoft is saying, you know, we bought these developers, we're going to have them do a new PUBG game, and we might as well have keyboard support so that they can actually play the game, you know, properly.
I'm happy with it, like, in a certain way, just because, I mean, I'm using a couple of Razer products right now. I have my headset and I have my mouse, and I've really enjoyed their stuff. If they can make that work for a console system, then why not, I guess. It's just another way to play.
You know what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
I'm thinking World of Warcraft now. Can you imagine, you know, the Blizzard has been hemorrhaging users from World of Warcraft. That's what, down like 7 million now, 6 million. Can you imagine if all of a sudden you had World of Warcraft on the Xbox One?
I'm just thinking of all the gross-ass attempts at keyboards and mice for consoles that have ever come out in the past, and how terribly clunky and awful they always are.
Except for the trackball, like, man. The trackball's always been good.
I like the SNES mouse when I had it with Mario Paint. That was fun. Good time.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like the keyboard that they sold with like Phantasy Star Online, the little text keyboard that you could plug into your Xbox controller for texting on Xbox.
Oh, I still have one of those. I still have the chat pad.
I think I had a chat pad too. But it wasn't for Phantasy Star. It was just generic.
The supposed, I think I was seeing a keyboard that you could latch the Switch controllers onto, and all of it almost always looks horribly, like, gaudy and cheap.
And also not very portable.
So, I mean, real keyboards and mice, that's a step up, and that's acceptable.
Well, it's support for. The thing is that, you know, there's a lot of games, I don't know, this also goes back to cross-platform play. I wonder if Microsoft's thinking about cross-platform play. If you're going to have PC users, they're going to have keyboard and mice, and you might as well tempt other people to join in. But you can use keyboard and mice too. You know, you won't have to worry about game bouncing or anything like that. Just say this game requires keyboard and mouse.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Nintendo Switch could get its own Monster Hunter games, and this comes to us from IGN. Capcom almost certainly won't attempt to bring Monster Hunter World to Switch, but it may be making an entirely new Monster Hunter game for the console. A recent shareholders meeting Q&A transcript includes a Capcom executive saying that the company plans to continue developing other titles for this platform in the future. Per Twitter users, that meeting also included a separate question that seemed to indicate that Capcom would make Monster Hunter games for the Switch specifically, rather than to attempt to port home console games to the console with less power. Capcom wouldn't confirm or deny the translation when asked by IGN, but they did provide a statement along similar lines. Quote, "The current focus for the Monster Hunter brand continues to be with the launch of Monster Hunter World for home consoles and PC, whilst we continue to bring the series to handheld platforms with the upcoming release in the West of Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate on Nintendo Switch. Generations Ultimate is a port of a 3DS game, and it's possible that Capcom will continue to target both Switch and 3DS in the future, given the series' historically huge install base on Nintendo's older handheld. Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate will launch on Switch on August 28th, while the PC version will also be getting an August release as well for Monster Hunter World." So, have either of you played Generations?
No.
I played it for a little bit. Not incredibly long. It's a little bit easier to access than a lot of the other ones. I think it's a good fit for a handheld. I think it's a good fit for the Switch, and I think it's kind of pretty. Yeah, and I'm okay with this. I'm okay with not doing Monster Hunter World because
I didn't like Monster Hunter World.
Monster Hunter World is downright beautiful, though. It's downright gorgeous. It's the fullest extent of, like, visuals, I think, in a Monster Hunter game. And just trying to, I don't know, water that down to make it fit on the Switch, I don't think that'd really satisfy people that much as people might think they will. Make a game that fits the Switch and make it work to the best of its ability on the Switch.
Here's the thing. You know what? Make a new game, because the gameplay of Monster Hunter World, it just sucked for me. I didn't like it at all. Just, you know, you can make it a top-down RPG for all I care. You know, just make it entertaining.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see the problems that you had with it. I didn't have those problems so much. I didn't have those problems so much. It just was what it was to me. But
that's because you're brainwashed. You played too much Monster Hunter, and... Let me ask you a question. Does the 3DS version also come with a gigantic tar monster too?
I'm almost certain. A lot of the monsters in World are sort of revamps of older monsters. I can't remember if there were any There might have been a few new, brand new ones, but they generally just like recoat the paint on a lot of their monsters in the games.
Are you going to play Dauntless?
I have played Dauntless. I enjoy that game.
Is it out?
The open beta is going right now.
Oh, okay. No, I was just thinking, you know, are you going to play Dauntless when it's actually released? Is the question.
Of course.
Okay, well, I'll join you then, because that I actually enjoyed, because the controls were far better.
It's so much more simple. It's like playing a playing a third person action brawler as opposed to playing a monster game where you have to
make you want to fight the big batter monsters, which actually require a lot of skill.
Uh-huh.
You were going to say, Scott?
Yeah, I'm glad that they're making a specific Monster Hunter game for the 3DS, because watering it down does feel not as fun, because I noticed when they did the Dragon's Quest XI demo for what it would look like on a 3DS, it was kind of interesting to see you climbing over everything, but it's top-down, 2D, and I think you lose a lot of that cinematic feel that the PC and the Sony version are going to have. So I like when they make it specifically for the console that they're making it for, and not just porting down a watered-down version, which loses a lot of its features. And yeah, like TJ said, Monster Hunter World is huge, and it's beautiful, and it's a tough game. So making a 3DS one...
I also wonder how much different the PC version of Monster Hunter World will be, because now that you have access to mouse and keyboard, maybe you can map some of the stuff. And since you're using a... Here's the thing. If you're not using a controller, maybe it won't be so bad. Maybe you can map controls out. Isn't that an innovative idea?
It'll be a billion times more intuitive. You won't have to like frustrate yourself going through multiple menus and slotting things and figuring out how to make certain functions
work. How to attack stuff and how to shoot stuff without having to do special moves. I mean, yeah, I'm going to shoot something with my center mouse button and I'm going to swing with my right mouse button. Boom, done.
I'm clearly going to need to buy a new computer for these games.
Or just play it on the lowest resolution. I mean, here's the thing. Gorgeous graphics are fine, but I don't care. I just want a fun game.
Yeah. Well, sometimes the speed of how the game runs will really affect your enjoyment of it, because if it runs slowly, it's hard to have a fun time with it. Or if it doesn't run at all.
I'm gonna say this. If I'm getting a game like Monster Hunter World or Metro Exodus, I'm not getting it because I want to see it at the I want to play it at the lowest resolution just so it'll play. I want to play it so I can see all the beautiful visuals they stuff into those games.
Yeah, you're a graphics whore though. That's completely different.
It's not that. You're it's a graphics that those whore. Games are specifically it. Built like that. I will play the lowest resolution games possible if they're fun. Like, I mean, I love Owlboy. Owlboy is my only 10 out of my entire review catalog.
I still haven't played Undertale. I have to at some point.
But when a game tells you... But when a game presents itself like Metro Exodus or Monster Hunter World, I want to see what it looks like at its best.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, fine. Some quick news here. Sorry, I made a mistake. Life is Strange 2 Episode 1 has a release date now, and this comes to us from Shaq News. In a surprise reveal, Don't Nod Entertainment dropped the release date for its first episode of Life is Strange 2 Episode 1, part 1 of the 5-part season that will release on September 27, 2018. Life is Strange 2 didn't make an appearance at E3 2018, but Don't Nod did reveal the free spin-off of the series called Captain Spirit. Nothing is known about Life is Strange 2's characters or narrative at this time, but more information will be revealed in the coming months. Yeah, the Captain Spirit trailer was really entertaining and, you know, heartwarming. But
I've heard from my colleagues that that game will gut you.
What?
Like
Captain
Spirit? Yeah, I've heard go into that game expecting to cry.
Well, gee, the kid has an alcoholic father and he has all these fantasies of being a spaceman spiff. Yeah, that isn't a setup for something tragic or sad.
Plus, it's Life is Strange. It's Don't Nod. Life is Strange is going to Life is Strange.
Yeah, we were. We were going to talk about Tron, but we don't have enough time for it. So instead, we're just going to do the listener feedback. Go ahead, TJ.
This one comes to us from Keto. Great podcast. Talk about information overload. I learned a lot, but I liked it anyway. Cyberpunk 2077 looks pretty awesome. But now that you guys all gave it the seal of approval, I'm extra psyched. Well, I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy to hear that my opinion matters to someone.
He made a mistake there. I'm correcting his mistake. Okay.
Thanks for the heads up on the free trial of Quake Champions. The offer was extended through this weekend, so there's still time to pick it up on Steam. It is a ton of fun, plus cool Nine Inch Nails music. Yes. Keep up the good work, Cyberpunks. I'm right with you on Quake Champions soundtrack, Keto. I actually have the second soundtrack loaded onto my music library, and I often listen to it while I work.
Now, here's the thing. I did not know they extended it, and then I got the I saw the thing, and oh, really? And it's no longer available, but it ended on the 25th instead of the 21st, I think it was, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, a lot of people got to grab a copy of it before it actually ended yesterday. Next item, go ahead, Scott.
Okay, this listener feedback is from Ralph. Or no, it might be Rafe.
Ralph.
Hi, guys. Is it Ralph?
Yeah,
Ralph. Anyways. hi, guys. Thanks a lot for this huge episode. Was a little bit work to listen to it. Yeah, 3 hours long. But was very informative. I want to talk... want to look at all the shows from every angle... Or, sorry, every single publisher and figure out which game I will speculate is the right word. Or spectate is the right word. I pre-ordered BF5 because I want to play it with my friends. In addition, I will pre-order Kingdom Hearts 3. My friends want me to pre-order Cyberpunk as well, but I do not even play Witcher 3 to know if I like the engine and graphics, but I love Cyberpunk and Steampunk.
By the way, wait, before you move on, a lot of Witcher fans were upset because it wasn't The Witcher 3 with Cyberpunk. No. This is a completely different game. Witcher, you don't have to worry about The Witcher. This is nothing like The Witcher.
I've been hearing it's like the best parts of Deus Ex if that game didn't like flake out a bit. I've also heard that the driving is very Grand Theft Auto 5, which is nice. I like that.
Oh, by the way, a lot of people got their hands on, you know, to play a little bit of Battlefield 5, and they were really wowed by it. So at least there's that too.
Yeah, Battlefield 5 is looking like it's going to be pretty intense and good.
Well, they have to because, you know, with all the stuff that's come out with Battlefront 2 and Battlefield, you know, it's sort of like the franchise really needs something to reinvigorate it, you know.
I can't remember. Did they ever bring back did you ever play Battlefield 1?
Oh, no, I didn't play Battlefield 1.
And I guess
by the way, for those of you who are confused, that was not the first Battlefield. That was the one that takes place in World War I.
Yeah, I guess the biggest factor of if I was going to go in on a Battlefield or not is whether or not they brought back squad ups, where you actually lock yourself into squads with other people and fill certain roles. I liked that in a lot of the other Battlefield games. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay, let's see. I have some months.
Let's see, I will have some months before the game come out. My friends also backed this Star Citizen game 2 years ago, so their decisions are not always the best ones.
Yeah, they just announced the Alpha 3.4.
Oh, God.
But on the other hand, you know, at least it's moving, it may be moving at a snail space, but at least it's still going.
Did they back Star Citizen for the $10,000 tier?
Which game? I wonder which game will come out first, Hero U or Star Citizen?
Star Citizen.
The rates.
Not even close.
So thanks again for this huge work on this episode. You're Lola. Okay.
Yeah, he's German. Ralph. That's how they spell Ralph, by the way. R-A-L-F.
Well,
all
right. I know there's also
You're Rafe, Loyal. So, I think that got cut off there. It was supposed to be You're Loyal
fan. Yeah, You're Loyal fan. Okay.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, there was a lot of good things this year. Cyberpunk is not going to play like Witcher. It's going to play like a mix of a lot of other good games. I'm not saying Witcher 3 isn't good. I'm saying
it's a first-person game. End of story. That's all you need to say. It's a first-person shooter.
Is it an open world explorative one, or is it?
It is open world explorative, where you travel around the city, you do quests, you do things. So it's like Witcher 3 in that way.
Here's the thing. It's also much bigger than The Witcher. If you thought The Witcher 3 world was big, this one is reputedly to be three times as big. But, you know, that isn't always good. You know, it's also three times, you know, it also has the same density of quests. So it's not like you're walking through this world that has nothing to do. No, there's going to be crap ton of shit going through. And here's the thing. It's been in development for 6 years. Now, here's the interesting thing that they said. When they were asked when it's going to come out, they said it's not going to take longer than it was to post the first trailer, which means they're saying, it's going to be a few years yet. But here's the thing. It's definitely going to be for the next consoles, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're in a holding pattern right now. You know, it's like people are waiting for the next consoles to come out, which is probably going to be 2020.
I'm okay. Give me two more years. Let me sit on my laurels for a bit and raise up my savings a little bit.
Yeah. I just got a PS4, man. Come on.
Well, here's the good thing, though, Scott. The way things are going, I'm pretty sure that everything that you have on the current consoles, the Xbox One, the PlayStation 4, I don't know about my Nintendo, but they've always had it, but everything you have right now for the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One will be playable on the next consoles. I'm willing to bet you anything. That's the way Microsoft is definitely going. You know, they don't want to have to hear about people whining about backwards compatibility. Things are now frontwards compatible. There's going to be games coming out that, you know, that are going to be better. They already had it with the Xbox One and the Xbox One X. Yeah, it's coming out for the Xbox One, but guess what? This game is going to be even better when you play it on the X. I dare him to call the next console the Xbox One Y, or the Xbox One Z. Oh, they do have a code name for it too. I forgot it.
Scarlet.
Yeah, Scarlet. Now, like I said, keep that name, or at least when you release the initial batch of consoles, make them red.
They'll probably.
I'm telling you. No, here's the thing. If you launch Xbox One, whatever's next. Are all red, like a limited quantity, people are going to buy the shit out of that. Because red is a cool color for a console.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, look at the Gears of War 3, called? Red console.
I saw that one. That looks very cool.
One of my buddies still has that console, and it is so cool to look at. Like, the controllers and everything are freaking awesome.
Yeah. Now, what were you about to say, TJ?
Oh, I can't remember.
So look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. If you enjoy feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. I'll set us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us on iTunes comments. So, yeah, that was a big episode last week, and I did not want to spend 2 hours on this one, also including us discussing Tron, so we'll do that next week. Tron. It's a 1982 movie. It's good. Anyways, you can see me on Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
I'm at Johnny Chugs.
I am at Alpha Shard.
And we will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Play games, have fun, take care, y'all.
And remember, you know, Microsoft, make the console red. We want a red console. And if you want to have the ultra exclusive, make it blue. Actually, no, I still have my original Xbox, and I always thought it was cool with that big green button on the top of it.
Yeah, that was a neat thing.
Yeah, of course it was the size of it was the size of three Xbox One X's, but you know,
apparently it was also bulletproof.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody was mad at their roommate for playing all day or whatever, so they got their gun, shot it, and the Xbox just kept playing.
You know, that reminds me, the Duke is coming back as an Xbox One X controller, which I'm excited for. Because I like the Duke. The Duke got too much shit. Just because it was a big controller, but it was also formed my hand. I liked the way it felt. Did you ever use the Duke?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Oh, the Duke was that big Xbox, the original Xbox controller. It was massive.
Well, maybe I did, I just don't remember.
But people complained because it wasn't for the little child hands.
I do like big controllers because the Switch Joy-Cons are a little bit too small for me.
Oh, those things are too small for anything. They're too small for Nintendo controllers.
Yeah.
I mean, thank goodness. Didn't they come out with regular controllers for the for the Switch?
They even had a Zelda Breath of the Wild Pro controller, which I got for the Switch as well. So that's what I've been playing Zelda with.
Oh, okay. I guess you're like,
I need to get one of those things real bad.
What?
I need to get one of those controllers real bad.
It is cool. It is very cool.
Anyways, we will see you next week.